Welcome to the Web3 Artist Spotlight, the podcast that shines a spotlight on talented artists who are leveraging Web3 technology to sell their art and connect with collectors in new and innovative ways. Through in-depth interviews, we learn more about the artists behind the art and uncover their unique creative processes, inspirations, passions, and the stories behind their captivating artworks. From seasoned professionals to emerging talents, we bring you a diverse range of voices from the Web3 community, and we delve deeper into how blockchain technology, NFTs, and decentralized platforms are revolutionizing the art industry.
Sierra Juju Mama is a force of nature in this space. She is a visionary who created the Etan World, the largest curation of West Africans on the blockchain. Sierra is also an amazing artist and craftswoman. And if that weren't enough, she is a speaker and builder in this space and a voice for inclusivity. And with that, Giancarlo and I welcome Sierra Juju Mama to the Web3 Artist Spotlight.
Yay. Aw, thank you. My heart is warmed. I feel very welcome. Thank you for having me. This is awesome. I'm ready. Let's do it.
I'm ready. Let's go. Well, we are very, very happy to have you here today. I wanted to start off, maybe take a few minutes, Sierra. Tell us a little bit more about yourself, maybe your story, and how you eventually, you know, came into this whole Web3 space.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Let's see. I am a woman of many skills, so I'm going to give a condensed version. But for anyone who doesn't know me, hi, I'm Sierra. I'm Juju Mama. Let's see. I am lots of things. I'm a wife. I don't have any kids, so I can't say I'm a mom. I'm a dog mom. I have a golden doodle that's like turning 7. God bless him. He's entering his old man years. I'm an artist. I'm a curator. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a yoga instructor. Oh, goodness. So many different things. And super happy to be here. Let's see. In terms of how I got into Web3, my husband's doing and urging, like, let's see. I was somewhat familiar with crypto as early as like 2017 and 2018. But I don't know, like a lot of people, I didn't have money to play with like that. Like I was in my mid late 20s and like, I didn't have income to be dabbling with. So that being said, I was aware, but I wasn't invested. And then after getting married and becoming more financially stable, which I don't know, I hope marriage offers most people more financial stability, at least here in America, as we combine incomes, it tends to help things a little. Things got a bit easier and there was more opportunity to explore like crypto and blockchain. And my husband actually suggested, I have a crystal store called Good Juju. I teach yoga. I'm super into like crystals and alternative wellness meditation. And my husband was like, oh, like you sell crystals. You should really look into NFTs and look at maybe making some crystal NFTs. Like, I think it could be cool. And I was just like, dude, that's stupid. I was like, that's silly. What does that even mean? It's ridiculous. I don't know. And then he kind of urged me a few times and I don't know. I love my husband. I trust his judgment. After like hearing it, maybe the second and a half time, I was like, all right, maybe let me look. Let me take a gander at what's going on here. And it was one of those things where once I looked, I could not look away. I was just like, my eyes were glued. I was like, wait, there's so much cool stuff going on here. There's so much cool art. Got connected with people from all over the world. So initially, before I started making my own art, I had commissioned an artist to make the crystal NFTs, an artist from Argentina, an illustrator. And we worked together and she made these illustrations of crystals. And then I put them out on Polygon, which at the time in 2021, 2022 was like dorky. Like everybody said, it was like the cheap, like nobody was using L2s. Like everyone thought they were terrible. Mm-hmm. So it was hard. It was like a struggle, but we sold several. We sold like half the collection and they were a utility token for people to get a discount at the crystal store. And that's kind of how the journey started. And then from there, I met all types of people, started making my AI art, started Etan, the art collective. But that's where it started, was with the crystal NFTs.
Wow. That's cool. So, and, first and foremost, I love the fact, you know, that because you have so many hats, you know, wife, dog mom, curator, you're into fitness too, yoga, you know, so I love it, you know, that you got so many different things you're like passionate about. And really interesting. So you had heard about crypto, you know, then like 2021, 2022, after your husband, like, he was like, all right, do it. And you kind of did it. But then with this whole like utility mindset of it, right? Of like, oh, if you buy it, then you can, you know, buy the crystals and all that. So that's really cool kind of approach to take to it. And I was curious, and I guess you kind of answered a little bit, but as like, I was wondering why you had chosen like the Twitter/X handle, like Juju Mama, you know, like where that kind of like came from, and it, you know, like good juju, I guess, was part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. It is completely and fully related to the name of my crystal store being Good Juju, which most people everywhere like know what bad juju means. It's like bad energy, bad vibes. Is you can feel it. It speaks for itself. It doesn't have to say nothing. You can just feel a bad vibe when it's present. And good juju is the opposite. It's like actively and intentionally being, I don't want to say being positive, because that's like kind of cringe. It's not always appropriate to be positive. Like sometimes it's okay to be down and sad, but just like being a light when others need you to be, because, you know, it's hard out there.
It definitely is. It definitely is. So, you touched on it in, you know, one of your bullets there of like the things you started up in the space, but I did want to take some time to really like call this out and dig deeper into it, right? But so you are also like the founder, curator, and talent manager for Eton World. I read from one of your posts that, you know, Eton translates the story or history in Yoruba, and that for you it isn't just about displaying art, but also about telling the stories and the history of West African artists, their culture, and their creative journey. So I think that's, you know, just amazing that this is something that you championed and you founded. And I would love to know a little bit more about like what inspired you to start Eton World, and what does it mean to you to do this as well?
Let's see. I love to talk about this. It's something I'm very passionate about, obviously, from the amount of time and effort that's been put into it over the last, I don't know, let's see, 8 or 9 months, which is crazy. It's only been 8 or 9 months and so much has happened in such a brief period of time. Okay, so the short version of the story, the really short and less impactful version is I sold out my first NFT collection and had money to go shopping and did like a shill thread. And I was overwhelmed by the amount of incredible artwork, specifically from Nigerians, that I was confronted with during that experience. And I was like, whoa, like, what's going on here? Like, why haven't I seen this? Like, why have I been in this space for 2 years and like completely unaware that there was like all of this, not just art, like fine art. And there's a difference between, I don't want to say there's a difference between digital art and fine art, because digital art can be fine art, but fine art, like stuff you see in Vogue, like nice things. I was like, wow. So that was my initial kind of like, whoa, something needs to be done here. And then like on a deeper level, okay, I'm not African in the sense that like I don't live or reside in Africa. I'm American. I was born in New York. I am the quintessential combination of New York things. My dad is African American and my mom is Puerto Rican and Italian. My mom heavily connected with Italian and Puerto Rican culture. Her dad was literally from the island and her grandmother was from Italy. So I was very immersed in that side of my culture and my upbringing. But anyone who's African American in America knows Black culture is different from African culture. But every Black person here in America, at some point, somebody came from Africa. So there's this curiosity and this wondering of where are my people from? Where are my ancestors from before this like pivotal point in history that has become a reference point, which is slavery, colonialism, things of this nature. So whatever, through technology, many African Americans have come to find where their ancestors come from, which part of Africa, which country, even in some super specific cases, you can find out which tribe, which I have not gone to that extent. That's a different more expensive test that I'll do at some point later. But I know that my ancestors are from West Africa, specifically Nigeria, which is probably why I am so connected to Nigerians on like an innate biological level. So that being said, it has nothing to do with me or uplifting myself or my story. This is all about finding underrepresented, talented artists that are creating art and minting it on the blockchain and elevating it so that appreciators of art can find it. And if not, purchase it, just check it out. Appreciate it. Because at the end of the day, art isn't just meant to be bought. You can appreciate it. That's meaningful as well. So that's what I'm doing with Etan. And thank you for asking. And thank you for doing research and informing yourself as to what I've been doing. Like, you'd be surprised how many people invite me to talk and don't do that.
Yeah. No, we definitely like to do it right. And I absolutely love that you're doing that, right? Because it's a big part of like why I'm in the space and I do a lot of the things that I do is really like, I want to give a voice to people. I want to empower artists, people that maybe aren't as represented in the space. So I absolutely love that, like, you made that your focal point, even though you're not necessarily like directly, you know, born in West Africa, you know, but that you've made it a mission and a passion to like really, you know, identify these artists and bring a spotlight to them, right? And help them, right? Get their art seen, you know, so that their stories are heard and seen. So I think it's amazing. And I absolutely love that. And as I was doing my research, right, so I did see that, Etan Foundation World boasts actually the largest curation of NFT art by West Africans on the blockchain, which is an incredible accomplishment. So, you know, hats off to you, Sierra, on that. I'd love to know a little bit more about, like, you know, your process for like how you've gone about selecting, you know, which artists and artworks you want to feature in this amazing and very large collection of art, right, from West Africa.
Yeah. Okay. So So this is funny because like all things West African always tend to be predominantly Nigerian. So that being said, like anyone who knows West African stuff knows it always leans very heavily Nigerian. Like Nigeria has saved no talent for the rest of that area. But that being said, there is so much talent outside of Nigeria. So I'm making special effort. And I say this because 95% of our 150 plus artists are Nigerian. So I'm making intentional effort to find artists in Benin, Togo, Cameroon, other West African countries, and then also being intentional about exploring the diaspora. All of us know that worldwide, there are so many communities of people that have descended from Africa, including my Caribbean brothers and sisters, my South American brothers and sisters, so Brazilians, Colombians, so many of us here in America, those in the Dominican Republic, those in Haiti. So also exploring these areas as well, because we're all connected. In terms of how I curate art, this process has taught me how to curate art. I'll be completely honest. When I came into this, I was just picking stuff I liked. And then I learned through the process, not that it's not just about what I like, because that is a factor in curation, but it's more so about like what story the art is telling. And that's now when I curate art, that's what I'm thinking about first and foremost, is what story does this tell? And how will the viewer relate to it on a human level? So that's what's important to me. So now I look for series. I look for bodies of work. Like, I'm not as interested in like a random one of one. Like, I'm looking for a series where you're telling me a story.
Wow, I love that. And I love that you're, you know, that point too about like the intentionality as well. Of because sometimes it's easy, right, to just like people are maybe not intentional about that, and then you indirectly maybe don't end up properly representing, right, like all the people and stuff from a group or a region or something like that. So I love that you're actually very intentional about like, all right, let me make sure I also got people you know, from other parts of West Africa that's not Nigeria. And obviously, you know, hats off still to Nigeria, because yeah, I've connected with so many amazing people from Nigeria. I see Nefemi here in the space as well, is a dear friend, amazing writer as well, and other artists that we've even had on the space that are just incredible. But I love that intentionality and also this whole angle of storytelling, right? And looking at a whole body of work and what is this trying to convey from a story perspective? That's awesome.
Yeah, and as I was doing my research, I noticed that you did not only the Eton World for Foundation, but you also have curations that are on object, where you're also spotlighting West African artists. And then I realized that you also coordinated an IRL exhibition of artworks in Africa, which just truly blew me away. Can you share with us what that experience was like, coordinating the IRL exhibition, and why you felt it was important to have a physical exhibition in addition to the digital ones that you've done?
Dang. Yeah. I'm like marinating on this question because, yeah, coordinating exhibitions are really stressful, but I don't want to deter anyone from doing it by by being negative, but I want to be realistic because art is fun, but putting together an exhibition ain't fun. It's a lot of hard work. Like, picking the art is the fun part. And then all the other stuff comes into play of how is the art going to get there safely? Do the wall tags say the right thing? Do we have refreshments? Who's paying for what? How long are we going to rent this space? How? Oh, goodness. Once the exhibition's over, who's going to come and unstretch the paintings and roll them up and send them to where they need to go? And again, who's paying for it? This fundamental question of who's paying for it. Because oftentimes leading up to an exhibition, obviously no artwork has been sold. That's the whole purpose of the exhibition, is for people to come and see it and buy it. So there is this faith and this fundraising to bring an exhibition to life, any physical exhibition. And then when you're talking about an exhibition in another country where you are not physically located, mostly involving people of a different culture that you are not originally from, there are several layers of complication that come into the mix. That being said, despite all these layers of complication, it worked out. And we, over the last couple months, we've had two physical exhibitions in Nigeria. The first was Binary Opposition, which was a black and white photography exhibition, which is currently still on view in our digital gallery on Foundation. It's it was showing in Abuja for a couple weeks. And then the second one was the one that we did with Object One, which just recently closed, but it's still on view digitally on Object One. And that was a mix of all different mediums. There were paintings, there was digital art. And that was also on view in Abuja, which is the capital of Nigeria. Whoo, they were stressful. That second one was super stressful. I'm not going to lie. The 3 days leading up to it, there was a lot of contemplation of like, am I going to have to call the artist and tell them this isn't happening? Anyone who's put an exhibition together has probably had this feeling like the day before, like, the first one, it was 1 a.m. the day of, and the walls were being painted. I wanted to pull my hair out. They sent me a video, and I was like, oh, my.
Oh, my. Oh, my God.
So that's how it goes. That's how it goes. But it worked out. It came together. And we have another one coming up in June. And I'm very excited to say, if my visa gets approved, I will physically be there in June to attend the next one.
Hey, that is amazing. And I appreciate your honesty so much, because I like felt that in my bone marrow. Like, it is not easy to put together a show at all. And but so, so worth it and so meaningful. I went ahead and pinned some of the information up there to the top so folks can take a look. And it is object or object period, I think object one or objects in general, first IRL exhibition, if I read something correct. Is that true? That's so amazing.
Okay, let's see. It's their first exhibition in Africa. They've had other physical exhibitions, but this is their first in Africa, which is so incredible considering the fact that they've had plenty. They've had them definitely several in America and Spain and Europe. So it's incredible to be responsible for the first in Africa. And I hope it's the first of many. I don't know. African art is kind of underappreciated in general and definitely on the blockchain. So I hope it sets a precedent.
I agree. And I'm over here just thinking, like, when is the Canvas 3.0 going to have one of Ciara's curations? Because I need to see that in my hometown of New York. I'm from New York also. And I resonate so deep with what you were saying about the diaspora and your own like lived experience, because I'm Dominican, I'm from the diaspora. I did my DNA and I realized that I am from Nigeria, Benin, Togo, Mali. And then just also as a curator and art enthusiast, I've noticed so much similarity in the colors and the textures and things and that are done in Haitian art or Dominican art and art from Africa, and how, you know, even oceans apart, we still have those things and they still come up in the art itself, I think is just amazing. So thank you so much for what you're contributing to the space in this moment in time. And my next question was to ask you, why does representation of Africans and the diaspora matter so much to you in this specific moment in time in art and tech?
Ooh, yes. Okay, first of all, yes, honey. Dominicans are Black. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. We are.
Thank you for saying this. My heart, like, yes. But Dominicans are also Dominican, and that's okay. We can be more than one thing. That is the nature of being a human being. So beautifully said. Let's see. Okay, look, now I'm so excited. I don't forgot the question. Wait. Oh, representation of Africans, art and tech. Yes, now I remember. Okay, here's why it's important to me. My journey has taken many twists and turns. When I was of my youth and I was blissful and ignorant and I was thinking at like 18, what do I want to do? How do I want to impact the world? And I was looking at what I was going to study in college. I decided to go to undergraduate school for political science, and I decided to go to graduate school for public administration. So I spent a lot of time studying government, politics, and specifically American government and politics. And it became incredibly obvious, incredibly quickly, that the system is not designed for everybody. And it's especially not designed for my brothers and sisters. And there was a fundamental question within me. My dad being African-American, half my family being Black, seeing in real life, up close and personal, the trickle-down effect of racism, of mass incarceration, of, I can't even just say racism, systemic racism, Jim Crow. This is an area in history when you come up in America, we learn this in like a month in history class. Like, especially if you're not down south, like if you're not from down south as New Yorkers, we glaze over this in a few months and then we get to like, okay, cool, Martin Luther King. And it's just like, wait. So there was always a lot of interest in like, why are things not equal? Why are people with darker skin not treated the same? And why does no one care fundamentally? I started my career in politics. I worked for the state of New York initially. I quickly realized it wasn't for me. There was a level of stress and phoniness that I couldn't do. And also you don't get paid enough and the benefits aren't good anymore. And I also like money as well as social impact. I like this because I can make a difference by allowing artists to be paid for their creativity and not be exploited. Blockchain allows middlemen to be removed. It allows the person in between you and the collector or the customer who wants to take half to be cut out of the equation, and you can reclaim your creativity. So not that I don't think that like being a social justice warrior and like, you know, doing protests and like doing lobbying and impacting in that way isn't meaningful. I think it's great. But ultimately, a fundamental issue is that when you don't have money, you can't improve your situation. And if you're a full-time artist, you probably don't have a lot of money. But the work that you do is necessary and is meaningful. And our brown, Black, African, diaspora artists need to be supported. So I'm trying to affect change socially, globally, culturally, by helping people understand, okay, you're willing to pay $150 for like a randomly generated like PFP on OpenSea from like an undoxed team from God knows where, but you're not interested in this incredible artwork from someone whose life could be changed if you purchased it. What? That's incredible. No, no, I won't stand for that. So that's what I'm here to change. That, like, that is the effect that I want to have. And that's the effect we are having. Like, we've sold over 12 Ethereum in African art in 8 months. Like, it's happening. So I'm proud. I'm excited. Like, I am being the change I want to see. And I, the last thing I want to say is, like, you can be the change you want to see in unconventional ways. Like, you can help people be seen and be recognized and be appreciated in ways that you didn't even know were possible. You don't have to go be AOC. You don't have to be young Barack Obama. You can do it through art. You can do it through music and creativity. Those things are just as meaningful. So that's the last thing on my soapbox, and now I'm done.
Oh my God. Can I just tell you that I have actual like goosebumps throughout my entire body by what you just said? And I know Giancarlo is smiling because at some point we were in an Uber in New York, and I told him, I shared with him, we passed City Hall on Broadway, that in my 20s, I aspired to be in politics. I was a grassroots organizer, and I worked for this party that is now no longer around, but it was called the Independence Party. And one of the leaders of the Independence Party, well, the goal was to be a nonpartisan party to sort of fight against bipartisanship in the United States and how it inherently is just going to get us nowhere as a society. But it was created in part by Lenora Fulani, who is an African-American woman. And I believe she was the first Black woman to run for the position of president in the United States. And I was just like you, like this wide-eyed dreamer who really thought that I was going to do something meaningful and impactful, but through politics and through that sort of angle. And just like you, I quickly realized that it was just not the right vibe for me. I just was not with that fakeness, that playing it as enemies in front of the public, but then everybody's cool and hanging out in the back rooms and making deals with each other. And I soon realized that that just was not my cup of tea. So what you just said, man, about how you brought your activist spirit into the Web3 community and then found almost like serendipitously this way of making such an impact. And like you said, like 12 ETH, that's impressive. And, you know, I have gone through your World of Foundation and seen the art in there. And if you guys haven't in the listening audience, please do that because it is a treat for the soul. It is beautiful. And I just wanted to say, like, I knew I liked you, but girl, I am just in love with you. I feel like I just met a kindred spirit, for real, for real. And yeah, cannot say enough about what it is that you just did and are continuing to do and the door that you open, because I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of other people who say, you know what, you know, I think I can do this as well. And thank you. That's just beautiful. So I just wanted to say that to you. And then I do have another question for you, kind of pivoting away from you as a curator to you as an artist. So apart from having this great keen eye for talent and artistry, you're also an AI artist yourself with collections on SuperRare, Zora, and many other platforms. What are some of the things that you love about creating with AI, and what are some of the challenges that you have faced?
Yes, excited to talk about my art. Absolutely. Sometimes I forget that I am an artist as well, and it's hard actually to find a balance. I have to like force myself on these.
I feel you on that, girl. I feel you, because when you wear multiple hats, you know, it's like, oh yeah, I want to spend time on the art too and do this, you know. So I feel you.
Oh my goodness, I feel like, yeah, sometimes I literally have to just put my phone on D&D and just like make my art for an hour or so and just be undisturbed and unbothered. Yes, AI art. Okay, so I've always loved making art. Always, I've made a lot of physical art through my life. And I'm very honest and straightforward about my relationship with AI. So I discovered AI art not even because I wanted to use it to make AI art. I wanted to use it to make marketing materials for my business, for my crystal store, Good Juju. I'm a small business owner, and I was paying this young college kid basically to make Canva graphics for me, which I discovered after the fact that's all he was doing. I thought he was like using Photoshop or something. And then I felt like such a boomer when I found out he was using Canva. I was like, oh, I could have did that. So whatever. I had this freaking, this like 19-year-old basically scamming me for like God knows how long. So that being said, I was like, you know what? I need to figure out how to make these freaking graphics myself. Because when you have an online business, being present on social media is super important. But if you don't have the technical skill of making graphics, you know, they can come out kind of cheesy and it can do more harm than help. So I was like, let me try one of these tools and see if I can make something interesting to like post on our Instagram or something. And oh my goodness, I definitely figured out what I need to do to post marketing materials for the business. But then quickly, I just got down a rabbit hole of like, oh, wow, like I can use it to make this and I can use it to do this and I can use it to make that. So I've always made art. I've always done drawings. I've always done paintings, but I never it was not in a way I wanted to share it with people. It was more recreational. There was never a level of confidence in it where I felt like, I'm going to put this out to the world. I'm going to see if somebody wants to pay for this. Like, it was just more of a, I'm expressing myself and something I like to do. However, when I started making and posting my AI art, I noticed there was a lot of interest in it. And once I started posting it, people started asking me like, well, are you going to mint it? Like, are you gonna, like, I want to buy it. Like, are you going to sell it? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I didn't. So I was like, okay, well, why not? Let's see. So that was where it started. There was interest. It went from a hobby to it's still not a business, because most of my art I mint on Zora as free mints, and anyone can just go and claim it and pay like $2 or whatever the Zora mint fee is to claim the art. So most of my art, it's not like I'm trying to make a living selling my AI art. It's just, I enjoy doing it. It's a form of expression. And I like that I can share most of it at low cost, because at the end of the day, it's just expressing emotion. And if people resonate with it, I want them to have it regardless of if they can quote unquote afford it or not. I do have like premium artwork on Super Rare. If somebody wants to blow a bag and, you know, spend 0.25 on something, go for it. I'll stop teaching yoga for a month or two. But otherwise, I do give most of my art for free, and I'm proud to do that because it's a way I connect with people. So yeah, thanks for asking about my art. I make like photorealistic art. I make art that looks like anime. I make art that looks like collage. I make a lot of art that looks like oil painting. I've made AI fashion collections. I've made like short films, like videos that are intended to like use as meditation visualizers. So all different types of things. AI is just incredible. It's shocking how it will unexpectedly blow you away in the most amazing ways.
Absolutely. And I did go through your collections and notice that you have a phenomenal range. You mentioned the fashion editorial, illustrative styles. Is there a style that you're currently more drawn to?
I go through phases. Right now I'm in my AI art that looks like oil painting phase. I'm really leaning heavily toward that, probably because I love to paint. And if I could make a painting that looked like my AI paintings, oh goodness, y'all would not see me. I'd have a talent manager. maybe in the future.
Oh, goodness. I love that. And you said, you know, that AI allows you to be very creative and you do have this phenomenal range. I'm curious, and you shared this during the speech that I caught at NFT NYC, that you're strictly like a prompt poet. I was curious, when you're doing it just like that, raw, what are some of the challenges that you may come up against to get these results that are just superb?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are so many different ways AI can be incorporated into a creative process. There are a lot of creatives who will use AI to make references, or they'll use it to make an input and then kind of draw over it or add other things to it. I am not one of those people. As I mentioned at NFT NYC in the panel, I make raw AI art, and I'm very honest and proud about it. Raw AI art is the art that is directly the result of a prompt. Like, I'm not going in Photoshop and fixing things. I'm not, in fact, in most cases, and I like to like drop this random tidbit every now and then, because I haven't like written this or like put this out anywhere. For anyone who doesn't know, when you save a file from Midjourney, and Midjourney is what I use to make my AI art, when you save a file from Midjourney, it defaults to saving the file as the prompt. The title, like literally in the file name, is what the prompt is. And oftentimes, when I upload my art as NFTs, very infrequently, unless I'm going to sell it for a high amount, like my super rare art, I will leave the file as the original name, because I'm actually, what I've been waiting for is for someone to dig into like the metadata and find the file name and be like, ooh, what's this? Why is it so long? And then realize that it's the prompt, because that is what Midjourney does. That's, it gives you the prompt. So I'm happy and proud of that. And it does result in weird stuff sometimes. It results in me having to re-roll and remix certain portions of the art that come out weird, and just be patient, to be honest. Like, a lot of people assume that AI art is something, you know, you type it, you get something beautiful, and like, that's that. But like, some of my best art I've reworked for, you know, a quick piece of art. You type a prompt, in 10 seconds, you get something great. There have been ones I've spent weeks on. There's been ones I've spent days on. And an AI artist knows that's an odd amount of time to spend on something, because it is so quick. So yeah, that's a little about my process. Thank you for asking.
I love that. And I think it is genius, actually, that you left that in the metadata, because I think it'll help inform people of actually the skill set that this requires. I'm an AI artist myself. And then I've really wanted you to sort of touch on that. So I'm really glad that you said that not all of that prompting, that poetry prompting, equates to a quick result. And sometimes you really, really, really have to work it, because I think there is, like you said, this common misconception that every single thing that you are happy with and that you are ready to mint happens in a 1-2-3 sort of way. So thank you for sharing that, because I think it's incredibly insightful for people who aren't aware of how that AI art actually gets made. So super cool.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. I appreciate like all the honesty and like all your answers, you know, even going back to like, you know, organizing and curating the events and all this. And I could attest to this piece, because I started to dabble a bit in like AI art. And I, you know, it just like, it became almost like stressful for me, because it's like, yeah, like you prompt something and I'm like, no, but that's not what I want. And just, it's like iterating and changing and, you know, and it's work, man. It's, I mean, even just to get like the raw part of it to come out the way you want it to. It's a skill. It's like an art and a skill in and of itself, right? I think, you know, so, you know, I give, you know, mad props to people that are able to produce like amazing stuff using AI. So hats off to you, because I love it. And the fact that you have that wide range of styles and so many collections is amazing. And it's a really a testament to like just your vast like creativity as an artist as well. And what I wanted to ask you about next as well is, because since as Jenny like touched on it and you did as well, like you have many collections across different platforms, lots of different artworks. I was curious if there's a particular collection or artwork, individual artwork that maybe holds a particularly special significance to you that you could share with us. And if you could tell us a little bit more about like what makes that one special to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Dang, I have a lot of artworks. The one that comes, I guess the one that comes to mind initially, whatever, I go through seasons. This current season in my life and career, the artwork is probably Finding Balance. Finding Balance is one of my earlier AI artworks that I made. So Midjourney is at like version 6, I think now. Maybe I made it with like version 5. So that's the other cool thing about AI art is as new versions of the software come out, you can really like see how your art evolves with the technology. So when you look at Finding Balance, like next to some of my more complex art now, it has like a simpler and more minimal feel. But that one is special to me because I originally minted it on Foundation and it sat uncollected for a really long time. And then I randomly submitted it for the Forbes art contest and it ended up getting selected as the winner of the contest and resulted in me getting like a prize of like a crypto prize. And then it resulted in them showing it on the billboard during NFT NYC. So I have like pictures of it up in the middle of Times Square, like huge. They put it on the VIP tickets at NFT NYC. And it was just interesting because that moment of this artwork being selected as the Forbes like and Rarible Web3 contest winner was almost like a pivoting point in my AI art career because it was an old piece of artwork that had gotten selected and I was kind of starting to feel like, dang, I've been doing this for a minute and it's like no one cares or notices what I'm doing. And like, I know my art is good. Like, what's going on? Like, I feel like every artist said, like, I know my art is good. Like, what's going on? Why hasn't anyone seen it or bought it? So I was starting to feel that way. And then once this happened, it was like a snowball effect because then following that, another one of my AI artworks was 8th place in Optimism's We Love the Art contest and resulted in like another large prize and a lot of publicity around my art. So it just, it moved things in the right direction and moved the needle. So like this artwork will forever hold a special heart, a special place in my heart for that reason.
Oh, that's amazing. And yeah, and I know as artists too, like in the space, you know, sometimes, you know, it could be hard, right? When you feel like people don't resonate with the art or things don't sell, but this is actually a true testament that, you know, you put something out there, right? And maybe sometimes it just takes time for like the right person or collector or whomever it is, right? To really take notice and discover that and then, you know, give you that kind of like recognition. And I'm so happy that like this, and this piece is, you know, it's stunning, you know, it's simple, but yet beautiful. And that it was recognized and then it led and contributed to like, you know, more of your work getting recognition. Cause I mean, it is fantastic, you know, going through a lot of your artworks. I mean, there's such a range and diversity, but there's just so many beautiful pieces that you've put together. So I'm, you know, very happy to hear that, you know, that you know, won these awards and accolades, right? That's so cool.
Thank you. I appreciate you. And, you know, I just want to like, just a quick note to artists, like I minted Finding Balance on Foundation and once it won that contest, Rarible came to me and they were like, oh, we want you to have it as an open edition on Rarible. And luckily, never in my life have I been like, luckily no one bought it. But like for the first time in my life, I was like, oh, luckily no one bought it. So I went and I burned it so that it could be reminted as an open edition for people to collect. And I want to say this specifically because, and I've done this as a collector. Sometimes I've gone and I've looked at an artist portfolio and they've had like a really cool piece of art that I like, but it was like on a chain that I don't collect on or like didn't want to collect on. And like, I'll just straight up go to somebody and be like, hey, like, I like that piece you have on Object. Like, are you down to like remint it on Ethereum? Like, I want to collect it there. And 9 times out of 10, especially if you're willing to foot any cost associated with it, which if you want something bad enough, it's in your best interest to do so. people are willing to do that. So I just want to put that out there. Like, don't be married to these platforms and don't be loyal to these blockchains and marketplaces, especially if they're not, you know, you're not eating from them. Like, if somebody comes and says, hey, I want to collect this somewhere else, seriously consider it.
Yeah, that's a great piece of advice. You know, and I hadn't even thought about that. And like, because that, and that's the other thing too. Yeah, like, yeah, you may get, like you said, you know, caught up on like, well, I already minted this here or something like that. But like, yeah, if there's a collector and somebody that resonates with it and they want to collect it, you know, why not? Why not bring it over to another chain? I know, Jenny, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, just another synchronistic thing. This literally happened to me after VCon. The last VCon, I met a gentleman there, Chaz Goldwaith. I think you connected with him, Giancarlo. Mm-hmm. And he liked one of the pieces from my Celestial collection, some of my like earliest AI art on object, and it was like illustrations and stuff like that. And he was like, I absolutely love this, but I have no idea what object is. I don't want to get another wallet. Like, this is just too annoying. Put it on ETH. And I remember like saying to myself, like, wait, does that do anything? Am I breaking a rule? Like, am I allowed to do this? And so, I mean, I asked around and people were like, yeah, just like what Sierra said, like, you don't have to necessarily stick to one thing. It on any particular art piece, as the creator, you have that ability, you know, with the IP rights. So I did as he asked and he bought it. And just like she said, he was willing to foot the bill for some of like the minting cost. I incorporated that into the cost and he bought it. And I was like, just so surprised by that. But yeah, you know, these opportunities come, and definitely don't block your blessings by being like fearful or dogmatic about where these things live or get minted or anything like that.
Yeah, that's great advice. And that's so cool. That also happened to you. That's awesome. And so going to like in the topic of like advice and things like that. So one thing I did notice here was that, last year you started a weekly series of like educational videos on YouTube that you titled Midjourney Mondays. And it was all about like teaching people, how to use like the generative AI art tool, right? Like a Midjourney, right? And I was curious if you had any plans to revive that series or add more content to it in the future or do something like that.
Midjourney Mondays. Dang. I really enjoyed Midjourney Mondays. In fact, I'm just so glad I recorded them because I definitely don't have the time or bandwidth to do them now. But luckily, everything within them is still relevant. The tech hasn't evolved too much since I recorded them. So everything is still relevant in them. And it starts from literally square one of like, okay, so for anyone who doesn't know Midjourney, just recently have they released this web version, which is still in like a beta for only like certain plans. Historically, Midjourney has been something you've needed to use through a Discord server. So it starts from that initial point of like, what is, some people don't even know what Discord is. You know, if you're in Web3 and NFTs, that's like shocking to think that there are people who don't know what Discord is, but I promise you, like 80% of people out in the world have never heard of Discord. So that being said, that can be a barrier. Like, that can prevent people from getting into Midjourney, is figuring out how to get into a Discord server, because that's where you can find updates related to Midjourney. That's where you can talk to other people about it. That's where you can share in channels. So then it just goes through like how to put a prompt together, how to use the different permutations, which are like the little suffixes you put at the end of your prompt to like change the aspect ratio or like change the version of Midjourney. Something I love about Midjourney is like new versions come out, but they don't let you stop using old versions. Like, even though Midjourney 6 is out, you can go in the settings and change it to like Midjourney 1 and like use the original really crappy Midjourney. And if anything, it just makes you appreciate how much better it is now, because it's shocking how far it's come. So yeah, maybe, to be honest, like, I don't see myself reviving it unless Midjourney like slides in my DMs and is like, hey, like, we'll pay you. So Midjourney, if you're listening, like, please sponsor me.
Go Midjourney, listen up. And yeah, and I guess for anybody that is interested in learning, The YouTube videos are still there, so you can check out the link. You know, we pinned it up, actually the post before that that has the link, so you guys can check it out. I see, Jenny, you got the hand up.
Yeah, I was just thinking, absolutely, Midjourney should pay you, but, you know, the hug thing that just came out, I feel like you're already so aligned with them. Maybe that's something for you to consider for the Midjourney Mondays, like either through their new program where you have like one-on-one coaching and you get paid for it, that they're starting to do on their website. I don't know if you saw that, Sierra, but maybe that, or maybe even like Dropbox links where you just record everything and the person who subscribes or pays you then gets like that email Dropbox link with all of your like guided videos. That would be super fire. And I would pay for that. I don't know. I feel like other people would too.
Ooh, that's fascinating. I did not realize that Hug was rolling. Dang, I can't keep up with Hug. They have so many
too many things going on, man. Yeah.
Right? They really do. It's crazy. No, I need to look and check that out. I love Hug, as you know. I do all the Hug things. I'm always at all their things. I was like one of their OG, what were they calling us? Huggers, I guess. One of their original curators when they first came out with their, before the website even existed. So yes, I am a fan of all things Hug, and I'm going to check that out. That might be a good idea because I'm down. Like, I'm down to help people out on a one-on-one basis. I'm down to do consulting. I just like, I'm a really giving person, and something I realize is I have to, this is hard for giving people. Like, we need to create boundaries.
Yeah,
that's what I'm working on, because I will just give and be burnt out. So I'm trying to create boundaries and monetize my skills better.
Absolutely. They should pay to pick your brain, because your brain is full of very, very insightful things.
100%. And I totally feel you on that, Sierra. This is one thing that has been a thing I've had to work on as well, you know. And I've had a few people also come to me like, look, man, you're like, you know, make sure you're also getting rewarded and paid and getting for all the things that you do and that you give to other people. So I think it's definitely an important lesson. And speaking of the Hug, you know, I know we had the wonderful opportunity, you know, to meet you in person in NYC a few weeks back. We got to see you at the Hug Fest event, also speak on a panel. I'd love to hear more about, you know, your experience at NFT NYC, and in your opinion, what for you were some of like highlights, key takeaways from being there?
Every NFT NYC gets better because I do less. And anyone who's gone a few years knows that is truly the key to having a successful NFT NYC experience is being, discerning which activities you choose to participate in, because there are so many and oftentimes they overlap with each other. Everything's happening on the same day at the same time. So you really have to check in with yourself and figure out like, okay, why do I need to be here? Well, how is this going to serve me? For me, this year was more about networking. Last year, I just wanted to be everywhere and do everything. And this year I was very intentional about like, okay, I want to see this person at this event. And I found that I had a much easier experience because I was more intentional. So it was awesome. I actually got to meet one of the artists from our collective, Phil Heal, who's Nigerian, but now lives in America in Chicago. And usually comes for NFT NYC. So we got to meet each other in person after talking so much online and after coordinating his first solo exhibition digitally in Itan. It was so cool to meet each other. Spoke on our panel, which inconveniently was at the same time as the highly anticipated comedian at NFT NYC. So thank y'all for being my supporters. Dang, I don't know. I need to petition for a better time slot next year. This is the second year in a row I had a questionable time slot. I don't know who I need to talk to, but
we were not missing it. I was like, I'm staying right here.
They were like, we're gonna watch it, we're gonna record it, we're gonna take pictures. Yeah, so I was happy to support you. I did get lucky later after I left. I actually then caught that the comedian, you know, was actually then you know, kind of like stepped down and made himself available to like talk to people. So I was like, all right, cool. You know, so I actually got a chance to talk, you know, so I was rewarded also for, you know, supporting the you know, your space and panel, you know, and being there, you know, during that event. So I still got to talk to the person as well. But yeah, no, it was great that, you know, we got to see you speak there. And yeah, I don't know, maybe we got to talk to Jenny, maybe to, what's his name, Christian?
Cameron.
Oh, Cameron, sorry. And be like, hey, you know, can you make sure that Sierra gets a good time slot next year? You know,
listen, yeah. You know, I would yeah. Definitely do
that. Totally do that.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed your panel, Sierra. It was really good, really insightful. You moderated it so well. And I also enjoyed so much that day that we were basically told we need to leave. That was pretty epic as well. I don't know if people caught that on the timeline, but Sierra and I were just plugging away at those iPads, trying to capture images and videos for all of, you know, our artists and friends. And they kindly were like, you guys, we're closing. You should go now. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. We were talking about Occupy Wall Street. We were Occupy our village. Like, we were not trying to. Oh, my goodness. I do hope, I don't know. One thing I love about these conferences is every year there are tweaks and improvements, like even them introducing the iPads and having the ability to choose what comes up on the screen so that you can actually get a photo of your artwork and not have to like hope you can catch it somewhere or walk around aimlessly and try to find it. Like, that's major. That's awesome. So I guess my hope is next time it's even better. Like, there are more iPads. It started to get a little congested at certain points. People were...
I had situations there when I was doing that too, where, and I'm trying to like punch in, you know, because the list of like 50, 60 people wanting their artwork, you know, and I'd go there and like the moment I'd start putting in like the second or third name, you know, I'd start getting like stink eye from some people, be like, what is this guy doing? I'm like, I'm just getting it for friends. Please let me just get a couple more. And then, you know, so I had to like get out of the line, go back around and come back and do it again, you know, but I really do hope that, you know, now we've shared some feedback with them that like, and it's great to hear that like things actually improve, right? I think what you said is it is amazing, right? Like, at least you have the option to go in and like punch the person's name or the artwork and have it display so you can take a picture. Cause having been to maybe other events before, like where you have to like wait for it to come up, you know, you may not even get to see it, right? So that definitely is an improvement. But I really hope that like next year they devote like more space to like the screens and the art. And then there's, you know, maybe a lot more iPads, maybe like a live stream that, you know, is showing the artwork there and people, you know, so that there's just more ways for people to be able to see the stuff. But I'm glad to hear that at least it improved from last year. So hopefully they take the feedback and they just do better next time. Yeah. But yeah, it was just funny trying to get those things. I love that you guys, you know, were told to leave because you were still going, still taking pictures and sending stuff to people. That's awesome.
The people working there were like, okay, we want to go home. Like, to lock the iPads up, like, you need to, like, we need to charge the iPads, like, please stop.
Yeah, and we were like, but we could go till it like dies, right? Like, you could just work on them until they die. That's an option too. No, okay.
Like, I'll charge it. I have a charge. I'm fine. the things we do for our friends. Nah, when I saw you there, just when I saw both of y'all there just as much as me, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, they get it. They get it. These are my kind of people. We're those friends. And if my art was being shown in a foreign country and I had quote unquote friends there, people who call themselves my friends, and they didn't take a photo or a video, I'd be crushed. So I was like, nah, I need to.
Yep, absolutely. And we got to see you then also at Hugfest. And I wanted to ask you to share about what it was that you were presenting at Hugfest. So you were selling beautiful crystals. You touched on that earlier in the space. And curious if you offer them for sale online. And if so, how do friends that are maybe in the space or going to listen to this playback, how do they get their hands on your beautiful crystal art?
Yes, absolutely. I had so much stuff at Hugfest. Oh my God. I kept telling people, like, because I traveled so I live in Virginia now, and I took Amtrak to Penn Station, and then took like an Uber from Penn Station directly to Hugfest with like all my heavy rocks and my suitcase with like all my clothes for the week. I kept telling people, like, I don't want to carry these heavy rocks like out of the city. So if you see a pile of amethyst outside of the World Trade Center. oh my goodness. But I brought a bunch of my crystals. I have like raw and polished stones that are kind of like more natural in terms of what Mother Nature creates and what comes directly out of the earth. But then I have a lot of interesting carvings. So just crystals carved into different shapes. I am not an artisan who can do that. All the crystals are imported from their country of origin. So some of them come from India, some of them come from Brazil, some of them come from Africa, China. It just depends on the material. Some of them even come from here in America. Like Virginia is a huge source of Amazonite, which is a beautiful, like, teal colored crystal. So they're on our website, goodjuju.com, goodjuju.com. Our SEO is popping. So if you Google Good Juju Crystals, like, you cannot miss us. You will find us on page one, honey. And then in terms of what else I had like on the Good Juju website, you'll see under merch, we had basically a collaboration with Etan where a few of the West African artists from the collective made rock or crystal inspired artwork that I had put onto physical products and brought to Hugfest to sell and show on their behalf. So we had like a metal print, we had a tote bag, we had like a little cup coaster, and I had them physically there, but those are also online on the website if anyone wants to check them out. So I had lots of stuff. It was really fun. I did well. I met so many of my online friends I hadn't met before, and then saw so many familiar faces of people who I had seen the year prior. So it got crazy. It got hot and packed in there at one point.
It sure did. I went ahead and just pinned that amazing picture of the first sale, physical art sale for Etan World, that print. And you guys just look so happy. I'm so excited for you. Congratulations. And then I also put the website as the second one when you swipe. If anybody wants to go check it out, it's right there. Easy to click.
Perfect. Thank you. I was so excited to rehome that metal print. So Mood Slime, the person in that photo, is like, we're mutuals and we've been friends online. So it was just nice to meet in person. But he's a collector of the artists whose work I was there showing. Like, he's collected NFTs from the artists and is a big supporter. So he was just really excited to support the artist by purchasing the artist's like first physical metal print. So it was just like a super special moment, especially considering the fact that the artist is in Nigeria and couldn't physically be there. We took all these pictures and videos and he felt like he was there even though he wasn't. So it was nice.
Oh, that's so precious and special. I can only imagine his joy when he got those images and saw that sale happened. So I wanted to pivot back to your AI. As an AI artist and seeing how AI is being used more and more in the design and fashion industries, I couldn't help but wonder if you have considered maybe perhaps entering into the fashion world as maybe an AI design advisor.
Ooh, this is interesting. I am totally open to this. I have dabbled a lot with AI Fashion Week. I participated in an AI Fashion Week, the first one, and created this whole AI fashion collection. The second one was like, I just did not have time. I did not participate, but anyone here who knows Wilde Martinez, she participated in the first and second and made like really awesome floral themed, AI fashion. There's a really cool app, and I don't know if it's a website, but it's called Offscript, And it's basically this app where you can generate product concepts with AI. And then if they get enough votes, the company will pay to have it manufactured, given it meets a threshold of a certain number of pre-orders. And I've been exploring that a lot as a way to maybe materialize some of my AI concepts. They actually just sent me an email like last week telling me that one of my concepts had enough votes or likes to move into the like physical production phase. It's a mug. It's like an agate mug. So it's a mug. Well, yes, no, it is made from rock. I was talking to them about it. We were trying to figure out if it would be ceramic, but it's like made from stone and carved and just like a mug that you can drink tea or coffee from. So exploring stuff like that and totally down to consult with anyone who wants to. Okay, so I didn't mention this, but like woman of many talents, like my background is also like physical product development and e-commerce. Like I built the Good Juju website with Shopify. Like I've consulted with a lot of small business owners that sell products on Shopify. I've developed personal care products, food products, cannabis products, all types of things. So like if you want to talk about making a physical product come to life with AI, I'm totally down to talk about that.
Amazing. Congratulations. That mug sounds super cool.
And man, you are just amazing, Sierra. I mean, just like so many skills, so talented. And you know, just such good energy, good vibes. I mean, I love it. The name, the Juju Mama, perfect name, you know, for your handle. But no, that's incredible. And that's so cool. Like what a neat idea that like you can get things like upvoted and then turned into like an actual product. Like that's freaking awesome. And you know, so you're doing, you know, a lot of these different things, right? And I was curious if there was maybe any upcoming projects or goals or other things you have coming up, whether it's for your, you know, art career, curation career, or one of the other many things that you do that you'd like to share with us today to make people aware about it.
Yes, absolutely. Let's see, a couple things I'll mention. One, my art was showing yesterday in Dubai at an event during Token 2049, Rarible curated, I don't know, maybe like six or seven artists to have artwork available to mint on site at the event, but it's also on Rarible as a really low priced open edition for like under 24 hours. I think there have been maybe 10 or 11 minted at this point. So it seems like it'll be a small edition size if that's something you care about. But that's minting on Rarible for like the next day for anyone who's interested in an opportunity to collect my artwork at a low price. The other thing coming up, soon we'll be announcing an open call for our next physical exhibition in Nigeria in mid-June. Pending my visa approval, I will be there physically. It'll be my first experience in Africa, so I am quite excited. So more details regarding that open call in the event, which is called Afrotopia, will be shared very soon. So please keep your eyes peeled. Two other things I want to mention. I'm on the Purple app, Farcaster, Warpcast, whatever you want to call it. I'm over there. I love it there. I have a huge tip allowance of Degen and Enjoy if you know what these meme coins are. So please come and talk to me there so I can tip you. And then
good to know. Yeah, I just started getting like, you know, going down the rabbit hole of the Purple app and all this stuff. And actually my friend Rachel Wood had like a really good space earlier this week. I don't know if it was recorded or not, but so much good information, like a ton of stuff I didn't even know about. So good to know that you're also there and you have a lot of degen to give for people. So I'll definitely give you a follow there as well.
Yeah, I'm on it right now. Just going to find you. What is your handle over there?
It is the same as here. I'm also Juju Mama over there.
Okay, cool.
I'm digging it. I will say I got on it probably, I don't know, maybe almost a year ago at this point. And then I just sat dormant because, I don't know, enough of my friends weren't on it to make it interesting. And I really just didn't know how to use it correctly, to be honest. But over the last few months, a lot of new features have come out. To me, honestly, it works the way Twitter should work for Web3 and for NFTs and for art. Like it's like what it should be for us, is my opinion. But it takes some getting used to, especially if you're a big Twitter person or heavy on other platforms. The last thing I'll mention, my last item, Eitan has a drop today. We have a new Foundation World on Base. For anyone who's unaware, Foundation now supports Base. Base is an L2 from Coinbase, so it allows you to transact on Ethereum with much lower costs. So instead of paying $15 or $20 to mint something, maybe you can pay literally, I kid you not, like a penny or 3 cents, which is incredible. So it's amazing. We now have a world on Foundation that's all Base artworks, and we have a drop today. One of our artists, Roland, has a collection of artworks that is pinned on the Eitan Twitter that you can check out. And it's also highlighted on the Foundation homepage. So if you go to Foundation and scroll down to the highlighted exhibitions, you'll see that exhibition. So that is the last thing I wanted to mention. And I just want to thank y'all for your thoughtful questions. It's been really incredible.
Our pleasure. And I was going to ask if anybody wanted to come up and request. I see Moses did as well. You guys can feel free to request, and we'll switch over to that soon in case you guys have any questions.
So right before we start taking our next speakers, we usually like to close the space with like lighthearted questions. So I have one. Giancarlo has another one. I wanted to ask you, what does an ideal day look like for you, Sierra?
An ideal day. My husband likes to make fun of me because after doing any type of activity, I'll just be like, yeah, I just need to relax now. I just need to rest. Like, those are like, that's like my, that's my catchphrase. It could be something small. Like, I just went and got groceries, and he'll be like, oh, what are you about to do? I'm like, oh, I just need to rest for a minute. So my ideal day, dear, is doing as little as possible, because an average day is filled with so many things. If it's not my own art or something related to Eitan, I'm doing something related to being a wife and managing my household, or something related to helping people manage their mindfulness and their personal care through yoga and mobility and flexibility. So I'm just always all over the place. So an ideal day is doing as little as possible, lounging around, not having to put on like real clothes, eating snacks. I don't know if I can say this, but maybe smoking a little weed.
Yes, thank you.
That's an ideal day.
Love it. That's awesome. And I can relate to that too. I mean, sometimes, I mean, I do love doing a lot of things, you know, but it's like, you know, just life in general is just so hectic that there's just something really nice about just being able to like lay on the couch and have like my cat come and purr on me, and, you know, or just laying down with my kids and just doing nothing. You know, there's something really special about that. I love it. And other lighthearted question we usually like to ask this one is we're fans of movies here. If you had to pick, what would you say are your top three favorite movies of all time?
Okay, top three favorite movies. Number one, I'm a big Nightmare Before Christmas fan and Tim Burton fan in general. Just claymation king. Like, dang, like, talk about fine art. This man killed it. Like, oh, he's so good. Like, all things Tim Burton. Like, I love Edward Scissorhands, all the things. Like, but also aside from Tim Burton, really love Matilda. Like, any 90s baby has probably seen Matilda.
Oh, yeah, I remember going to watch that with my grandma when I was a kid.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Everyone should see Matilda. Like, if you haven't seen it, like, it's just, dang, it's too good. Matilda's a good one. And then finally, not so much movie, but more like TV show vibe, like big classic HBO girl. So like, I could just binge The Wire or Sopranos. Like, give me like classic, like American, like crime, violence. Like, I love it. Like, so those are my favorites.
Love it. Yeah. And I'm also a fan of Tim Burton. And actually even just, yeah, like Matilda and other like Roald Dahl books that were adapted to movies, things like that. Also a fan of that. So that's awesome. And Sopranos, yeah, it's a classic. Good stuff. All right. So we do have a few people up on stage. I know it was Moses came up first. How you doing, Moses? Happy Friday.
Hi, Junka. I hope I pronounced it Giancarlo. Hi. Hi, Shira. I'm so happy to be here. You know, I just saw her here. Hi, Jennifer, by the way. Hi, Carlos. Just so many amazing people here. I see Ethan down there. When I saw Juju Mama here, I checked out, and then I saw it was a spotlight on her. So I decided to jump in because, I don't have a question, but I have some things to say about her, about Juju Mama.
Yeah, go ahead. Please share.
Okay. So I think the platform, Ethan, I mean, this person, she's one of the biggest for me, biggest supporter of art and African art in the space. I mean, I've watched her do a lot of things. Sometimes I wonder how she's able to manage this whole lot of things. And she's great, supports, reach out to a lot of people, organize a lot of things. She's crazily talented. And I mean, it's like superwoman for me, the way she does a lot of things, supporting people. You've seen Ethan World, where she's the curator. I'm thinking about her, like, so she's not here. Well, if you've seen that world, you see how, you know, a lot of people's lives have been changed. A lot of people have received great support on that platform. You know, just being able to reach out to the world through Ethan's World, being able to have a voice and, you know, have their work seen, have a platform. We all need platforms here in this space, you know, to be able to, you know, reach out to more people, to be able to have a community of support. I mean, this is a whole lot. So just in case for someone who doesn't know, I know a lot of people already know Juju Mama here, especially amongst the African artists. She's great support for everyone, but especially among the African artists, you know, it's like a voice. It's like someone really standing out, standing up to support. We had a great one-of-one show, which is I think is still on Object One, that she organized, and we had a physical exhibition of paintings, photographs, digital works that were exhibited in a gallery in real life. I mean, if you don't know this, that was like the biggest show on Object One recently, and it was also a big exhibition in real life. There were a lot of people. And all thanks to Juju Mama. Like, I don't see so many people doing this in this space, right? Appreciating all forms of art and being a great artist herself. You need to see some of her works, the digital work she does, and some of the physical paintings she does. It's like magic. Someone being able to, you know, work with everything and do everything she, you know, it's just so wonderful. And I feel happy to be able to say this here, that she's really amazing, really selfless to a large extent. I mean, doing an exhibition, it's a whole lot. And being able to fund this exhibition, it's really big. So I just wanted to shout out and give honor to who honor is due, right? And Carlo, Giancarlo, really thank you so much for this space, for lighting Sarah. She's an amazing person. And she's sacrificing a lot for the arts community in Web3. So I think, like, she needs this spotlight. Is very, you know, it's very expedient. It's really good. Thank you. Thank you so much, bro. And Sira, Mama, thank you for everything you do for art here, for African artists, for artists entirely in space.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you, Moses. Goodness. You would know better than anybody how much craziness went into that last exhibition. So Moses is physically in Abuja and, like, came to help get his things, get our things together. And God bless him. Goodness gracious. I am just as grateful for you as you are for me. So thank you for coming up here and sharing those kind words. It's truly my pleasure and honor to put a spotlight on such incredible art. So thank you for being here. And thank you to the other two people who came up to speak to you. I'm excited to meet y'all.
Yeah, thank you, Moses, so much for coming up and sharing the kind words and for the support you gave Sierra as well with that exhibition. I'm sure she definitely appreciated having somebody there in person on site. But yeah, thank you. And it's really our pleasure having Sierra here. I was just incredibly grateful that she could make it and join us, because you know she's amazing and deserves all the roses and the accolades that she's receiving. So I will jump over now to David. How are you, brother? Happy Friday. How you been?
Hey, happy Friday. Giancarlo, Jennifer, it's great to meet you, Sierra. Really interesting conversation about the AI stuff. I've been kind of delving into AI the last, I guess, year and a half or year maybe. And yeah, it's for me, I've always been like a traditional artist, but AI really helps me with like getting ideas and stuff for, you know, what I want to create and stuff. I've actually overheard you talking about how you would think it would be just amazing to actually paint your AI prompts. And that's what I've actually done myself. I'm a reverse glass artist. And I was like, yeah, it'd be kind of cool to paint these, you know. And man, for me, it was like a game changer, because just ideas that you would never even think of. But you can actually paint, which is really cool.
Ooh, I love that you said this. Like, that is the fun part about AI. And like, this is what I try to communicate to people, is like the unexpected, it's cool that you can have a vision in your mind and you can type something, you can get that, like, cool. That's really incredible. But what's even more amazing is when the unexpected arises from AI, something that like you couldn't think of, but then it's there and it's like, what? So I know exactly what you mean. And I love to hear that you're using those inspirations to make physical art. Ooh, I see there's something pinned. Let me check this out.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Jenny. Go ahead.
No, I was going to just say, Sierra, that like this was, I just feel like I had seen David's art and I appreciated his digital art, was a collector. But once he started merging his reverse glass skills, which is really hard to do, with the AI prompt inspiration, I feel like that was like a turning point. And like he basically is booked like solid. He's gotten commission after commission after commission of these.
Yeah, I'm glad I got like second in line. So I got mine already, but I'm sure like the waiting list is probably long for David. But yeah, his stuff's amazing. Go ahead, David.
Oh, I was just coming back. I had a coworker of mine asking me a question. But yeah, thank you for the nice words from you guys. I feel like it's almost like endless creativity for me with like merging AI with like physical art and stuff like that. I've done like some AI, just straight up AI, but I'll use like do touch up stuff on it and stuff, take out those funny AI quirks that almost happen a lot. I did have a question, like, because when I do my AI prompts, I use like a lot of the free apps. Like I use like Hugging Face. Are you familiar with Hugging Face platform? Like their beta platforms?
Yes.
And I feel like their prompts are really good. I mean, you have to kind of mess around with it a little bit, but there's so many different platforms within the Hugging Face thing. And I also use Leonardo AI. I don't know if you've heard of that one.
Yes, I have also heard of Leonardo. I'm in their creator program, so I should probably actually use it more, because I think I have like unlimited tokens. But just, I don't know. You know how like there's like iPhone people and there's Android people? Like, I feel like when you start to get into your AI tools and you find something you like, you start to lean heavy into it, and then it's hard to get out of it. So I feel like
you're primarily Midjourney user, right?
Mostly, yes. And then when I'm doing animations, maybe I'll use like Runway ML or like Kyber, but I am mostly in Midjourney these days.
I'll have to do more with Midjourney, just because I'm kind of all over the place. It's like a new toy for me. Like I'll like there's like some new thing on the Leonardo where you can like animate your AI prompts and like it gives it kind of an interesting motion and stuff to it. And I'm fascinated by that too.
Leonardo 2 has something cool where you can train your own models. So you could take a bunch of pictures of your physical paintings and then you could train a Leonardo model on them. And then you could use that to generate images. And that's something I explored with Leonardo, was training a model on my previous AI art. And you can get some fun and interesting stuff. And I'm sure you have enough input images as a painter that you can use.
Mm-hmm. That's it. I actually have done that before, where I'd take like my original painting and input it into the AI. And comes up some really interesting, like, because it'll show something that you wouldn't think about, and because it would like almost create a whole different scene, but you can still see like the same shapes of the characters and stuff that are in it, but they're like in a different format. Like, it could be like a like an angels and stuff instead of like regular people or something. It's kind of cool. But yeah,
the possibilities are endless. And honestly, sometimes like it can be addicting.
Yes. I'll spend like in the evenings before I go to bed, I'm like, I'm just going to do a couple of these AI prompts. I end up like 2 hours later, like,
yeah.
My husband is like, who are you texting all the time? I'm like, Midjourney.
My wife texts the same way. It's like, you're always on your phone. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing like work. This is work for me.
That's awesome.
Well, it was really good talking to you, Sierra, and I followed you, so I'll hopefully be able to see more stuff from you. And looks like you have a wide variety of different styles of work, which is amazing.
She does, man. She does. Go check it out. It is incredible stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I hope you guys have a great Friday, and much love to everyone.
Love to you, David. Have an awesome party and weekend, brother.
Yeah, thank you. Getting my son. Woo!
All right. And we have Carlos on the stage as well. Hey, Carlos. Happy Friday. How are you?
Oh, I'm really excited. It's been a while that I can make through the show. But hi, Giancarlo. Hi, Jennifer. Hi, Sierra. It was really nice to meet you in New York. I also had the privilege to have some merch from you. That my kid loved it. My son had the turtle. Carmen had a little mushroom, and Jennifer and Carmen had one of the neck bracelet. Mm-hmm. And Jennifer had the purple, and Carmen had the pink.
I was
really happy to have it. And but one question that I want to ask you is how you combine the AI work with the stone. Is something that you jump from one to another, or is something that came as you got into the art business?
Okay, like making my AI artwork inspired by crystals and rocks and stones. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, originally it was sparked by a practical need to want to make materials for my business at a low cost, because whatever, man, there's only so many pictures that I can take of the rocks and of them in different settings and me holding them. So initially there was just this practical application of like, okay, maybe I can use AI to, you know, I can't afford to do all these fancy photo shoots, but maybe I can make it look like these things are happening. So that's where it started. But then it kind of turned into like, okay, well, and then I started imagining things that maybe weren't possible. Like, okay, what if there was a couch completely made of rose quartz, or like a lamp that was like an amethyst cluster, or like a fireplace made of calcite? So then it started into like, okay, I would love if I could sell crystal home decor and furniture in my store. And these things exist. Like, I've been to gem shows and like you can buy a crystal couch for like $10,000. Like, they're a thing. But I don't know nobody who's going to buy one. So it's like, I can't do that, but I can make art of it, and people appreciate it just as much. So initially it was just like exploring different avenues for the crystal store. And then it became like a creative expression. and wanting to, you know, express my wildest crystal dreams. So like making outfits made completely of crystals, different crazy accessories. I have a whole collection called Crystal Grocery Store Core. And it's imagining that there's a grocery store where only crystals are sold. And it's like photorealistic pictures of people with shopping carts with massive gems in them, or like literally a Walmart aisle in like the frozen section that's just like all crystals inside. So just like it went from, okay, I love rocks and I love crystals and I love mindfulness and I love yoga, to like, okay, I love absurdity and I love art, and how can I fuse these things and like creatively express myself? So many layers to it. But thank you for asking, and thank you for supporting my small business. Good Juju is 5 years old, turning 6 this October, November. So I'm very grateful for your support. Thank you.
No, thank you for making those little things that made happy to whoever has it. And I was really grateful to have those in the house and to bring it to my lovers. And with that, I hope everyone have a nice weekend. Thank you, Giancarlo and Jennifer, for having such a nice space. And it was nice to see you again, Sierra, at least in Twitter. So thank you so much, guy.
Thank you, hermano. Appreciate you coming up and asking a question and just vibing with us today. And big thanks to like everybody that was in the space today that joined. I know some folks were here for a long time. So greatly appreciate, you know, just all the support and love people are giving here. Oh, and I see our friend Efemi just joined. Hey, brother, how are you? Happy Friday.
What's up, Giancarlo? How you doing? Hi, Jenny. Happy Friday, everyone. Good. Sarah, it's very, very nice to meet you. I think I've followed you for a few months now, and I was just curious. I was like, wow, is she Nigerian? What's her story? So I'm very happy to finally hear your story and understand what you're doing. I see you're, you know, learning some pidgin English. I see you writing it up in the space. I think I just wanted to come up here and just say, you know, congrats on, you know, all you're doing. And even just thanks for, you know, curating a space, telling more stories, bringing more Nigerians into the space. As you said, there are a lot of Nigerians in Web3. And I think you're doing it well, curating, making people feel comfortable, creating like your kind of marketplace to connect them with, you know, people here in the US that want to buy and connect with the arts. So just want to come here, give you your props and say that I'm happy to finally hear your story. So I have two questions. First, how is the Pidgin English tutorial class, or how you're learning? How's that going? That's just the first random question. And then the second one is, you know, are you only at this point connected more to like visual arts? As you said, you know, there are a lot of Nigerians in the space, you know, Afrobeat continues to grow. I personally haven't seen a lot of Afrobeat musicians trying to do stuff in Web3, minting their music. What do you think about that? Is that a direction you're going at all, or are you just kind of focused on the visual arts in that space?
Hello, happy Friday. Oshi, thank you for coming. I appreciate you. Ide, appreciate you. My pidgin is going okay. I don't have anybody to speak pidgin with here in person, so I only have my Nigerian friends here on Twitter and on WhatsApp. So I type it, I send voice notes, and when I go to Niger soon, I'll get to try it out. I'm mostly going to get laughed at, I'm sure, a lot, because it's going to be unexpected, because they're going to be like, who is this white lady with her terrible accent trying to talk pidgin to me? But it's okay. I don't care. The effort is usually appreciated. Let's see. Oh, Afrobeats. I love Afrobeats. Anyone who knows me well knows that I'm always listening to Afrobeats constantly. In fact, like a typical weekend at my house is like an early Sunday morning. My husband saying it's too early for Rhema, like it's too early for Ruger. Like, please, like we don't need twerk music at 6:30 in the morning. I'm like, no, please. So I love Afrobeats. So it's interesting you asked this. When Etan first came to be, our initial cohort of artists, my close friend Jinmi Abduls helped me curate it. So Jinmi is a Lagos-based musician who makes Afrobeats music. And one of his songs he put in our Foundation World, and it's still available. You can go and mint it. You can also go and listen to it on Spotify if you'd like, as an NFT. The issue really, truly is... there are only a couple platforms right now, like SoundXYZ, that support music NFTs. Like, we couldn't even get his full song on Foundation because at that time, the file limit prohibited us from putting the full song with the music video up there, which I think has been remedied since. So a part of the issue is, like, you know, music files that have, like, a high quality music file with a nice music video is not a small file. And there's only so much that you can condense something before you start to lose quality. So I think if artists who make any type of long form visual content, you know, want to participate more, the platforms need to support them technically better, which I think we're starting to move in that direction. Like, I literally think within the last month, Foundation changed their file size limits. So things are happening. If you know anyone who makes Afrobeats music who wants to mint it as NFTs, I'm so down. Like, please connect them with me. I'd love to highlight more music. All art forms are welcome. Visual art, music, written art, so poetry, all the things. I would love to have all the different art forms. So it's welcome.
All right, for sure. Good to know. Yeah, I've been dabbling around with, you know, what does writing look like in Web3? And, you know, it'll be nice to connect about that and writing stories about, you know, things in West Africa, the traditions, the culture, the people. So anyways, it's good to learn about you and hopefully hear more about all the great stuff you're doing, and all the best with that visa. You know, that visa is a problem sometimes, but I know you get it. So keep doing your thing. Happy Friday, everyone.
Applying for a Nigerian visa is no joke. Like, they're asking for all these crazy things. Like, they're asking for proof of a return flight. Like, I'm going to try and stay there. I'm like, Lord have mercy. Like, please.
What? Yeah. Is the approach for the Nigerian embassy is they just reciprocate. They kind of do exactly what the other country does. So, if I think the approach is more, if the Americans are asking us to do all this crazy stuff, we're going to ask you to do the same. So people find it very, like, jarring when they want to go to Nigeria and they're like, why are they asking me all these questions, especially Americans that don't usually apply for visas? But it's just kind of, you know, it's the treatments that we get also. So we just kind of reciprocate, you know what I mean? So it's all good. You'll be fine. You'll get it soon.
No, let me tell you, I'm shocked because I'm going to London and they just want a passport. And Nigeria has a list of 10 things. I'm like, Lord. Oh, wish me luck, my friend. Hopefully I'll see you soon.
You got it. You'll be good.
Oh, man, that's awesome. So thank you, Nefemi, for coming up. And I love making these connections, man. Hopefully get some of those Afro beats to be, you know, showcased by Sierra, you know. So that's awesome. Thank you so much for
coming sure.
through. And always love the questions you ask, man.
Thanks. Thanks for hosting, man, as usual.
It's our pleasure. And funny enough, you Jenny pinned up that picture of the, you know, one of your artworks, right, of this, like, crystal grocery store. And when we were in because we went with the kids to Virginia, Charlottesville, Virginia, where my brother-in-law lives with his wife, we went to this store that it literally was like a crystal grocery store. And my kids were just going nuts in there, like, looking at everything. And I got, like, there was just so many, like, cool, like, stones and things that had, like, all these really cool, interesting colors. I was literally in there like taking pictures and like just tons of inspiration for like artwork. I'm like, oh yeah, I want to use this color palette or that color palette or whatever. So super cool. So when I just saw that picture, I'm like, oh my God, that just reminded me of that place in Virginia.
It's funny. Charlottesville is not too far from me here in Richmond. So next
really? Time. Oh, that's right. Yeah, because we actually flew in into Richmond when we went to visit them. So I will hit you up if we're in town. Yeah.
We'll check out the art.
Let's go. All right. Well, I do got to bring the space to a close now. I got a meeting coming up soon. But thanks again to everybody that joined the space. Those of you that came up to speak and ask a question. And more importantly, to you, Sierra, for being our guest today. It was just an absolute pleasure getting to learn more about you, about Eitan, about your AI artwork, and just all the amazing things that you're doing in this space to, you know, empower artists, to showcase them, to tell their stories. And you are doing incredible, amazing work. You're just such a positive energy, such a positive force in this space. And I'm so glad that we got to give you this spotlight so more people can know about you and help and support in all these awesome causes and things that you're doing. You are just, amazing human being and just honored. And it's really our pleasure to have you here today.
Oh, my heart. Thank you. It's a pleasure. Thank you. I'd love to come back anytime. And I hope to see y'all in person before the next NFT NYC.
Yeah, we got to make that happen. Oh, go ahead, Jenny.
No, I was just saying that would be great. I would love to connect more with you. I had such a nice time in New York with you. And this space has just like really warmed my heart. And I already knew, like I said, I already knew that you were doing amazing things. But hearing your full story just like really cemented how much of a force of nature you are. And I would love to be able to even just do stuff together, I think would be really great.
For sure. And I think, we should talk some more because, again, I think we're all, on a similar mission, right? To really like empower people, to have more people be seen and heard. And I think we should work more together on these like joint initiatives. I think, as they say, stronger together. And I think, I think we can, do a lot of things that can, further all the goals that we're trying to do here. So definitely let's stay connected and would love to meet up. Yeah. At some point before NFT NYC. So hopefully we can make that happen.
Yes, sir. Wishing y'all a very happy weekend. Thank you again. Stay safe.
You too. All right. Thanks, everyone. Hope you all have a great Friday and a wonderful weekend. Take care.